Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. It's Tuesday, November 12th, 2013. On the other side of the glass, our producer, Rosemary Brandt, back from a great weekend in my hometown, the windy city of Chicago. She had a great time, and who wouldn't? So many wonderful attractions in Chi-Town. Our thanks to Ray Allen for handling the production duties while Rose was away. We are live each weekday, 12.04 to 1, right here on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We're streaming the show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. We also have a new media partner. Want to thank Inside Tucson Business. There's a link now to the Buckmaster Show right on the homepage of Inside Tucson Business. We'll get things going with our Washington, D.C. contributor, Terry Bracey. He will reflect on last week's national elections. Then Shelley Fishman is with me in studio, certified financial planner, as the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Shell has the market's a little bit down today. What else can we say? But not too much. 30 minutes past the hour, we'll talk with Lisa Lavallo of Cox Communications. Lisa is the chair of the current United Way campaign. They have a very ambitious goal this year. We'll talk to Lisa about that. Then we'll close out the show with a newsmaker interview, TUSD Governing Board Dr. Mark Stegeman, who will be presenting a very, I think it's controversial, proposal tonight to the TUSD board. We'll tell you about that. The live line number is 790-2040, and of course we invite you to become a friend of the Buckmaster Show. Just go to Bill Buckmaster on Facebook. Let's go now to Terry Bracey on the live line. Terry is our expert on Washington and governmental affairs. He's enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Congressman Mo Udall. He went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He's a senior partner in the respected government affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano, which represents City of Tucson and the Central Arizona Project, among some of his other very prestigious clients. Terry, how are you today?
Bill, I'm doing great. Winter's arrived, however. Freezing out there.
Well, Rose got out of Chicago right before the snowstorm, first snow of the year in Chicago yesterday. So, yes, winter has arrived. And I guess one of the big topics in D.C., what happened to those skins?
Oh, the big collapse. Well, Bill, we've gotten used to this. This is a team that always disappoints. Got some great young athletes like RG3 and whatnot, but kind of a quirky owner who gets involved in all the decisions like Jerry Jones, and pretty soon they've made some bad ones, and we're not 6-3, we're 3-6, and the season is almost over. So I just turned the television off.
And the owner is pretty much stonewalling any decision to change the name of the Redskins?
Well, as long as those T-shirts sell and the team memorabilia, there's almost no hope that Dan Snyder is going to wake up and smell the roses.
Terry, of course, the focus nationally, two big races, the gubernatorial races in New Jersey and Virginia. Let's hear your take on it.
Well, Bill, the analysts have been working these over for a week now, but for what it's worth, I'll give you my take. First, New Jersey, where we have the incumbent Chris Christie, a man with clear presidential ambitions, in a landslide over a minor figure in the Democratic Party. And, no surprise here, his opponent, Barbara Bueno, was her name, received almost no national funding to speak of. The issue here really was competence. This was the Republican governor who was embracing President Obama following the disastrous Hurricane Sandy and who earned the enmity of the Romney partisans, but certainly not the Republicans in New Jersey. He won in a landslide, over 60% of the vote.
Well, everybody's talking about Chris Christie. He was on the cover of Time magazine. He was all over the place on the Sunday morning talk shows. I think he was on at least four of the Sunday talk shows. Is he really a social conservative?
Well, that's the big surprise. He got almost a third of the Democratic vote, but you bet he's a social conservative. He follows the party line on most social issues. He opposes abortion vociferously. He's against gay marriage. And until recently, when he did an about face, he led the fight against giving tuition help to the sons and daughters of what we call the dream kids, the undocumented workers. So all of that, and yet he carried one-third of the Democratic vote and respectable support in the Hispanic community. But the absolute key to his success, I think, at the polls was in the landslide that he had was a tough leadership approach and the image of competence.
Yeah, and did his victory trickle down to other Republicans in New Jersey?
Not at all. That's the subheadline. He won overwhelmingly, but they may have picked up one seat in the state house. Didn't move a single seat in the state Senate, still dominated by Democrats. Of course, it's a Democratic state. So Christie's victory had no legs whatever. His victory did nothing for the Republican Party and perhaps even threw some gasoline on the fire that's raging with the right. But I have no doubt that Chris Christie won because he was viewed again by a frustrated electorate that sees dysfunction all over, and particularly at the national level. He was viewed as competent.
How about Virginia, Terry?
Different story. No one would have believed a few years ago, that Virginia is the way it is today, that it's Terry McAuliffe country. Now, Terry McAuliffe, who's best known as the Clintons' top fundraiser and who had been accused by Republicans for years of all kinds of business shenanigans, was able to actually turn the ethics issue against his conservative opponent, who was the incumbent Attorney General Ken Cuccinelli. McAuliffe didn't have to say a thing. The newspapers were full of stories from an ongoing federal investigation of huge gifts by a state contractor to the incumbent Republican governor and to Cuccinelli himself, although in fairness, Cuccinelli was cleared. But he still could not get from under the scandals in Richmond, the state capital. And that contributed heavily to McAuliffe's victory, but it wasn't the real story. The real reason McAuliffe won was demographic. Like most states, Virginia's ethnic makeup is changing radically and rapidly. The Republican Party continues to gear its election strategies, Bill, towards the white vote, and it does well. But it's a diminishing share of the electorate. This year, it was about 70% of the vote, and Cuccinelli won 58% of that, so 58% of the white vote. But McAuliffe got 42, or close to that, percent of the vote, and then almost all of the African-American and Hispanic vote. Still, it was an exact replay of the Obama victory in Virginia of 2012, and it looks like a pattern has set in. Remember that McAuliffe held the same coalition together, even in the midst of a media pounding that President Obama has been taking over this disastrous rollout of the Affordable Care Act. Of course, a counterbalance in Northern Virginia, the home of many federal workers, was a shutdown of the federal government. And I think maybe in the end that balanced out.
So you're saying, Terry, that really the outcome in Virginia really had to do with the demographic situation.
Demographics, demographics, demographics. If New Jersey was about confidence, Virginia was a powerful example of the continued emergence of a new Democratic majority based on holding their own with the white vote and sweeping minority neighborhoods. And out of that race comes once again, I think, an urgent message to the Republicans in Congress. Deal with immigration or settle on becoming a permanent minority in national elections. Obviously, as Christie showed, attractive candidates do make a difference. But in order to gain popularity, Christie had to abandon his opposition to immigration reform, as I said, and embrace the Hispanic culture.
Yeah, well, is it going to be enough to get the House Republicans to move on the immigration thing?
The $64 question. I hope it will, and it might. I think there's a good chance. But remember, the gerrymandering that we've been talking about in earlier shows has really left a situation where a narrow House Republican majority with safe districts, where incumbents worry only about challenges from the far right. So while the country waits, and their national party continues to lose support, these members may choose to oppose the Senate immigration reform bill because it will protect them against such a challenge. And instead of focusing on the demographic tide that's rolling up against the GOP, as evidenced by the Virginia vote, many Tea Party Republicans are saying the lesson is just the opposite. They say that if the establishment had just given more support to Cuccinelli in Virginia, he would have won. And yeah, they are blaming a bad election on the moderates.
Well, the Republicans continue to beat themselves up, don't they?
Yeah, it's kind of sad to watch, and it's a bad thing for the country. But I fear it's the case, but I'm always hopeful. The immigration bill can be passed by this Congress with some dedicated leadership, I think, by the Speaker and his team. It won't happen this year, but certainly it could be approved early next. Ultimately, the future of the Republican Party depends upon it. And that's why I believe Speaker Boehner will give it his best shot.
Terry, we have someone with a quick question. Do you have time for us, Terry, to take a quick one? Matthew, go ahead. I've got less than a minute.
Quickly, could you comment on the recent vote from Senator McCain and Senator Flake on the Employment Non-Discrimination Act? We'd love to hear your opinion. Thank you.
You know, I don't remember how they voted on it. I think they did they support it or not? I'm a little unsure.
Oh, I don't know. I think we've just lost Matthew on that one.
Matthew, I can't help you. I can't go back and pull down that vote. I know that the Senate passed that bill overwhelmingly, the non-discrimination bill, which was a historic bill. It goes to the House, and there's some thought that the House won't even bring it up, unfortunately.
Okay, thank you very much, Terry. I hope you have a great week. Thanks.
Thanks, Bill.
All right. Bye. Terry Bracey with us, our Washington, D.C. contributor. And up next, Shelley Fishman with our Tuesday Moneymaker Report. Stay with us on The Buckmaster Show.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Limited time offer.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you're over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. And your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
You had a chance to visit Biosphere 2's engaging Facebook page yet? Our likes have doubled the last 30 days, so check it out and you'll see why. Inspire and stimulate your mind with all the exciting things going on both inside and outside every day at Biosphere 2. Experience our new architecture, engineering, and history tours. The University of Arizona's Biosphere 2, a world of discovery and adventure. Like us on Facebook and visit today.
Chance plays a big part in today's world. There's a 5% chance you were born with an extra rib, a 12% chance we'll have a solar megastorm in the next decade, and a 20% chance that if you got in a road accident in Sweden, it was caused by an elk. Well, Cox Business understands that chance has no place in running a small business. Get business internet and phone for just $99 a month and enjoy the 100% certainty that comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's right. You get 100% certainty with phone features like on-the-go voice manager and internet speeds faster than basic DSL. Plus, 100% confidence with service that's been honored with the J.D. Power Award for highest in customer satisfaction with small mid-sized business wireline service. Make the switch today and get some certainty in an otherwise uncertain world. There's now a 99% chance this commercial is over, except for the legal.
Offer ends 12/31/13. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Limited 30-day money-back guarantee. Exclusions and other restrictions apply. Must be claimed within 30 days of service activation. Other conditions apply. For J.D. Power Award information, go to jdpower.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And it's our pleasure to welcome Shelley Fishman, Certified Financial Planner. Shelley, how are you today?
I am okay. I'm better than the market.
Better than the market. Before we get on to the market, just to clarify, caller Matthew was asking about the Flake and Senators Flake and McCain, how they voted on the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. Both of them voted in favor of that, Shelley.
Right.
Yeah. So that actually... And actually, Terry is with us real quickly. Terry Bracey, who... Go ahead, Terry.
I had thought that Senator Flake and Senator McCain both had voted for the ENDA Act,
yeah,
the Non-Discrimination Act, but I wasn't sure. I checked, and indeed they did.
Yeah,
both
they
voted with a majority.
And okay, and so it now goes to the House, and Speaker Boehner says he's not going to hear it. Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah. That's the current word, but again, there's a lot of pressure and a lot of people behind that bill.
Okay. Terry Bracey, thanks for checking in again. Thanks, Terry. Okay, Shelley, the market today struggling a little bit, but hey, it's entitled to struggle.
It is entitled to struggle, Bill. The market, I mean, after yesterday as well. I mean, we're up,
year
you know, 20% on the Dow and 25% on the S&P and 30% on the NASDAQ, and tough to complain. Though some people do.
Oh, yeah.
What was happening today is because the employment numbers that came out on Friday were much better than anybody thought they might be, there's some speculation around that the Fed will begin to taper its stimulus before everybody thought they were going to, maybe even as early as December. And, of course, that's having a negative reaction on the markets, and not only the equity markets but also the bond markets. My personal opinion on that is until there is a new Fed chairman, there's not going to be a change in policy. And that, you know, Janet has been nominated and will almost certainly be confirmed prior to the end of the first quarter. She should be confirmed before the end of the year. But keep in mind, if Bernanke steps down, mm-hmm. she is the vice chairman. So guess
right.
what?
Yeah.
She gets to be acting chairman in any case.
But anyway, the ship is sailing in the same direction for the near future. Anyway, interesting article in Market Watch about who is really paying for these sins of the banking mortgage industry.
Yeah, it was a very timely article from my perspective. It was either on this show last week or maybe it was on the John C. Scott show. At the very, very end of the show, somebody, and it might have even been Matthew, I don't know, called in and asked a question about how I felt about the very high penalties that were being paid by the banks to essentially pay the price for some of the things that went on just prior to and leading up to the Great Recession. And I think last week, there was a settlement at B of A or Wells Fargo, or 20-something billion dollars. And the caller asked, well, what did I think about that?
Yeah, I think it was actually. I think it was caller Matthew.
Yeah, I think it was.
On this program a week ago.
about the
B of A settlement.
Right. Yeah. And my, my quick answer was, that's a great deal of money. I'd like to see people go to jail, but I'm not sure it makes a lot of sense to take that much money out of the banking industry at a time when we need that liquidity in the industry for lots of reasons. Now, in thinking that through, yes, I would like to see some people go to jail, and I think there were clearly some people whose both their judgment and their actions would indicate more than just incompetence. So that's one thing. But when you think about it, and this is why I like the Market Watch article, when a company pays a $20 billion fine, even if they've been saving up for that eventuality over the past couple of years and they're very profitable, and in most cases these companies, it looks like they haven't saved enough. So there's several billion dollars per bank that the fines are exceeding the funds that they've put aside. And that's just in prosecutions from the federal government. There's also civil prosecutions that could cost them more money. But, it's not the bank that pays the money. Sure, the bank pays the money, but it's the stockholders of that bank that pay the money. Now, who are those stockholders? Well, as it turns out, about 10% of those stockholders are pension funds. Guess what? So if you have a stake in a pension fund because you're going to get a pension, you own part of that bank.
Sounds like you're trickling down to the investor.
Exactly. The bad stuff trickles down. I'm not sure the good stuff does. And in some cases, the holders of those stocks are other large funds, mutual funds, 401k funds, etc. So you may not think as an individual that you own Wells Fargo or J.P. Morgan or Goldman Sachs, but if you own mutual funds, if you part of a pension or
you've got a piece of it,
mm-hmm. and so you're paying for yeah. that because it's coming out of the profits of the bank and therefore coming off of the price of the stock that you've invested in. And as it turns out, over the past couple of years, even though the market has gone gangbusters, mm-hmm. we talked about that at the beginning mm-hmm. of the show, the financial industry stocks, by and large, have not. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that is because of the potential for these very, very large fines, $20, $24, $25 billion. That's a lot of money even for, a bank that's making $4 or $5 billion a quarter.
So the headline says billions are going to have to be paid by B of A. Well, the money will probably come and will come from the little guy.
It always comes from the investor.
Yeah.
In the end, the owners have the culpability
yes.
and the responsibility for what the bank managers do. Now, you and I both know that if I own 100 shares of mm-hmm. Goldman Sachs and I go to an annual meeting mm-hmm. and I raise my hand, I probably won't get called on and I probably won't be paid attention to. Nevertheless, and I don't want to pick on Goldman Sachs, but the stuff that management does is paid for eventually, either in a good way or in a bad way, by the stockholders. And those mm-hmm. stockholders can be very large or they can be very small.
Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner. The best way to reach you?
Best way to reach me is several ways. Let's talk about them.
Okay, go ahead.
We've got some time. We've got the Bill Buckman, the BuckmasterShow.com.
BuckmasterShow.com.
Great way to reach me. Yep. Another way to reach me is go to ShelleyFishman.com. That's ShelleyFishman.com. And that's my website.
That's your revamped website.
That's my revamped website. The other way is to just call me on the number that I'm now broadcasting as my number, 940-0884. It's my cell number. It's my new office number. Great way to reach me.
All right. Thank you, Shelley. Have a great week.
You too, Bill.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities offered through LPL Financial. Member FINRA, SIPC. Insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. Investment and insurance products are not NCUA insured.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. Even if it means that the new health care law must be changed, former President Clinton says that President Obama should find a way to allow people to keep their existing health coverage. Will the Boston Marathon bombing suspect face a death sentence? Prosecutors plan to make their recommendation on that sometime this week. An Air Force officer who once led the branch's sex assault response team has pleaded not guilty at his trial that begins and charges that he groped a woman outside a bar in Arlington, Virginia. On Wall Street, stocks still in negative territory. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is down about 63 points, while the NASDAQ Composite Index is off almost 13, and the S&P 500 Index trading 8 points lower. More details at srnnews.com.
Inside Tucson Business is your best source for the business news of metropolitan Tucson. Whether you own or manage a company, want to start your own company, or just want to know what's happening with the region's economy, you need to read Inside Tucson Business, Southern Arizona's business news leader. Read us online at InsideTucsonBusiness.com or call 294-1200 to get your copy today. Inside Tucson Business. It's not personal. It's just business.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
Ah, it's 6 a.m. and my flight leaves for Denver in 2 hours, but no need to rush. Because I'm flying out of Tucson, I have some extra me time, which means I can relax and start my day the way I love to start every day, with a run, a hot shower, and breakfast with my family, not a 2-hour drive in rush hour traffic.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word compare to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico make a great getaway for a weekend or longer. It's just 3 hours or so from Tucson and 15 degrees cooler to get to an area with so much to offer, from hiking, camping, exploring downtown historic Silver City, or just relaxing in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org for the complete list of great places to stay and visit in Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. Since 1987, Tucson's been home to one of America's premier sources of fine Persian and top-quality imported rugs at competitive and affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. Stop by the Rug Gallery showroom and see one-of-a-kind new and antique quality rugs during the 26th anniversary sale now underway. The Rug Gallery in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell and at RugGalleryAZ.com and on Facebook or call 571-RUGS or 571-7847.
Looking for a family-friendly outing? Gather up the kids and head to the Desert Museum for the Beth Nielsen Chapman Concert on November 16th. The greatest journey you'll ever find. After the concert, enjoy Mighty Sky Night when the museum stays open till 10 p.m. for astronomy-inspired activities and nocturnal animal presentations. Chapman is an internationally acclaimed singer-songwriter. Songs from her Parents' Choice award-winning album, The Mighty Sky, use melodies and lyrics to highlight the wonders of the solar system.
Listen up, children, got a story to tell. There's music out in space ringing clear as a bell.
Chapman will also perform her biggest hits, like This Kiss and Happy Girl, made famous by Faith Hill and Martina McBride. Tickets for this musical adventure are only $10 for children and $20 for adults for the 3 p.m. matinee performance. For more information and to purchase tickets, go to desertmuseum.org and click on the Mighty Sky icon.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, our Tuesday edition. It's time for our monthly segment, Technology in the Workplace. Our series is presented by Cox Business, serving Southern Arizona businesses through a world-class network, providing voice, data, and internet solutions. Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com. And joining me in studio on the Buckmaster Show is Lisa Lavallo, Vice President and Systems Manager for Cox Communications in Southern Arizona. Lisa was named Woman of the Year in 2010 by the Tucson Metro Chamber of Commerce. She is the recipient of many honors, including one I know she's very proud of, and that is the Spirit of Philanthropy Award by the Association of Fundraising Professionals for her outstanding contributions to our community. In fact, Lisa gives back, in my opinion, more to this community than just about anyone else I know. Because of, well, she just gives a lot. She serves on nearly a dozen community boards. She's now the current chair of United Way of Tucson and Southern Arizona's annual fundraising effort. Lisa, good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill.
And I just don't, my question right off the bat, I just don't know where. Last time I checked, there were 24 hours in the day, and I think you utilize every second of that. You really do give back to the community, and kudos to you for that.
Well, thank you, and thank you for this opportunity to come in and talk a little bit about what Cox does in the community today. We're really proud of the culture we have at our company, and it's not difficult to be that kind of organization in Tucson, which is a very giving community, as you know.
It is a very giving community, and you're going to be giving your time and efforts to chairing the current United Way campaign. You know, people think of United Way, yes, the United Way brand has been around forever, but I don't think they realize, Lisa Lavallo, that so many people are touched in this community. Mm-hmm. I've seen some statistics showing it really trickles down to one out of four, one out of five mm-hmm. people are in some way touched by a United Way program.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's, you know, this campaign year will raise close to $11 million, and that money will be distributed to 300 organizations across the community that touch over 100,000 people a year. And these are, you know, helping families be more financially secure. You know, they're the largest tax preparer in the community, bringing in almost $18 million of funds to help families here locally. A lot of work done with seniors and making sure that seniors have a healthy life and lifestyle, and a lot with children and youth. So, you know, those are a lot of big buckets to touch in Tucson, and on our United Way is having this collective impact for every dollar that people give, that organizations give, that individuals give, about $5 of impact takes place. So they do have a multiplier effect.
And this year is a very ambitious campaign in that I think it's about a 5% increase over last year.
Yeah, that's correct. As long as I beat Paul Bonavia, who was the chair last year, I'll be happy.
Yeah.
But we're going to try to grow at 5%, and we've got some amazing companies who've signed on early to participate in that, and their employee campaigns are already underway. So we're a little bit ahead of last year as things get into high season for us.
What are some of the organizations that are that do get support from United Way?
The Blake Foundation, Easter Seals Blake Foundation, gets a large percentage of it. The Primavera Foundation, pretty much CPSA, just almost everybody you can think of is probably getting some grant from the United Way. Also, during United Way campaigns, individual employees can also delineate the charity they're choosing to distribute their funds. So it's hard to find an organization that is impacting children, families, and the elderly that's not receiving some compensation from United Way.
And we have a problem in this community with in an educational area where the kids just don't. Many of the third graders are, what is it, 1 out of 4 are not reading to the level they should be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's...
Yeah. No, that definitely that 12, I mean, kindergarten through third grade and the aptitude there for reading is really critical to their advancement up through high school and college. So a lot of the reading that is needed, the United Way provides, for example, about 42,000 books a year to families for kids from K-3 to help them prepare for that need as their education continues.
It's easy to give to the United Way. Many of the employers, certainly the University of Arizona, mm-hmm. in my years there at the U of A, I always would contribute from every paycheck mm-hmm. to the United Way. I mean, it's made very easily, and you can designate whether you want it to go to a specific mm-hmm. organization or whether you want it just to go to the general fund.
Yeah, for any business that would like to get involved, it's really simple. The United Way will bring a representative in and help coordinate an employee campaign and provide you with materials to educate your employees on all the different organizations they support. They make it very simple either to give a one-time donation or, like you said, through a payroll deduction each year. And so, you get the collective impact of thousands and thousands of individuals giving $10 a month out of their paycheck. And it doesn't feel like anything when it's coming out of your paycheck, but it has a big impact when you put together all the employees across Southern Arizona who are participating.
Is there a central location that folks can go to? Would it be the United Way website mm-hmm. to check out
yep.
what organizations are indeed covered?
Yep, they're all listed there. So you can go on to the United Way and then go to the Southern Arizona part of that, and you can see all the organizations. You can see all the financial information about the United Way, so you know what percent of money is going to which organization. It's very, very well spelled out. You can see who the board members are.
Also, it's not just United Way, but as you mentioned, the Cox employees are mm-hmm. incredibly giving. They give of their time. On many weekends, they go out and they help people. It's just really, it's a culture that you're to be congratulated. The whole Cox organization here in Arizona really believes that you have to give back to a community to make a community successful.
Yeah, and what's wonderful is that our employees, they live and work in the community that they serve. So their children are in TUSD schools, and their families are going to faith-based organizations throughout Tucson. So they really feel connected to what they're doing. So, things like the Winter Haven Lights wouldn't happen if Cox Communications wasn't a charitable organization, because they bring the bucket trucks out there. They get the lights up, and tens of thousands of Tucsonans go through Winter Haven, and we help with that every year. Community food bank, tons of things during holiday cheer, as we call it, that our employees do, both in terms of time and treasure that they give.
What kind of year has it been for Cox?
Strong. Strong, I guess I can say stronger than it was. For us, our business has been ticking up pretty consistently the last year to year and a half.
Downtown's helping.
Downtown's been a huge benefit on a commercial side. The streetcar is bringing in lots of economic opportunities for commercial companies. We've put millions of dollars into the streetcar infrastructure on the line there.
Yeah, that Michael Keith of the Downtown mm-hmm. Partnership in the business section of the Star today talking about the jobs that have already been created mm-hmm. along the streetcar mm-hmm. line.
Yeah, I mean, in the university, certainly the public-private partnership with the housing downtown has been a big boon for infrastructure companies and for restaurants and retailers that are downtown. But there's no doubt that it's at the closest point we've seen it probably in the time we've been in Tucson that it's really going to become an Austin-Portland kind of feel down there. So it's a very exciting time for downtown and other areas of Tucson that are growing, the Northwest, Sahuarita Vale. These are all areas that are expanding as well. Or Valley.
Again, that goal is very ambitious for this year's United Way campaign, really pushing toward the 11 million yep. mark. So you are hoping and very confident that you will beat last year's goal with a 5% increase. Are there some specific activities to kind of generate interest that you've got planned for the United Way?
You know, I mean, tomorrow I'm going to go do a book reading at a Barnes & Noble for Women of the United Way and for children. There's activities almost every week that are part of the Days of Caring campaign. So there's lots and lots of festivities to get people aware of what the United Way does and hopefully get more people contributing. So
and definitely just check out the United Way's website for more information about the campaign.
Thank Absolutely. You. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you so much, Lisa Lavallo. Our segment presented by Cox Business. Get to know the business side of Cox at coxbusinessaz.com. Our thanks to Lisa Lavallo with us. Coming up next, Dr. Mark Stegeman, TUSD board member. He's got a controversial proposal that he will lay out for us here on the Buckmaster Show and that will be presented tonight to the governing board. Be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soup, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
In my 25 years in Tucson, I have had only one dentist, Dr. Lisa Fogel. This highly skilled dental professional has a caring, friendly, can-do attitude that makes Dr. Fogel the choice of the Buckmaster family. Dr. Fogel's lovely state-of-the-art dental office is conveniently located on North Swan, just south of Speedway. For an appointment, call 881-1856 or visit lisafogeldentalessentials.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's our Tuesday edition. This portion of the program is presented by our friends over in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico. And they have asked me, and I'm glad to tell you, that they have a great event coming up. It's a Fiber Arts Festival. Everything to do with fiber and textiles this weekend over in historic Silver City. And in case you don't know, it's not a bad drive. It's three and a half hours east of Tucson, and you're there. It's a completely different environment, up about a mile high elevation. Great places to stay over there, including Lake Roberts Motel, Pinos Altos Cabins, and the list goes on and on. You can check out all the great places on their website, southwestnewmexico.org. We send a lot of people from the Buckmaster Show over to Silver City, and everybody comes back and says the same thing. What a great weekend. What a great time we had. Anyway, joining us now in studio, Dr. Mark Stegman, Dr. Stegman of the TUSD Governing Board. He is also a professor at the University of Arizona, and right now he's over in he's been spending a lot of time this semester in at the University of Michigan in Ann Arbor, right? Good to see you, first of all.
Right. This is my sabbatical semester, and it's been great.
Tonight's meeting, you will be bringing back, I guess, a proposal about closing down a high school and reopening it as a new university high campus. Did the board pass this when it first came up in 2012?
Right. I originally proposed this, and it was built on other people's earlier ideas. It wasn't just new out of the box a year and a half ago. And then in December, the board adopted it 4-1, and they said the staff should bring back a plan to do certain things. We listed four things no later than this November. And I don't think there is a plan. And I think that I didn't put this item on the agenda, but I think the staff has put the item on the agenda to explain why there is no plan. And I don't really fault staff for that, because we had a change in leadership. And I think Dr. Sanchez is wrapping his arms around a lot of stuff. And so I don't really feel like criticizing him for that. And there was a change in the board, and two of the members that voted for that lost the election, and the new board's feeling hasn't been tested. So
this might be to test the sentiment for this.
Well, it might be. I'm guessing what's going to happen. Yes, I think it might be that. I'm guessing what will happen, and sort of hoping what happens, is that we kick it down the road a little longer and let the efficiency audit come back and let Dr. Sanchez develop his own plan for the high schools, because this is really part of the whole high school configuration. You can't separate the UHS issue from everything else.
What's wrong with UHS at Rincon High right now, the current location? Why does anything need to be done?
Well, there's basically three issues. The first is there isn't enough capacity there. There's more demand for UHS every year from out of district, right? I think this year a third of the enrollments are coming out of district. That's a lot of money coming in. And the desegregation plan, the USP, basically is going to almost require us to increase the enrollment further. And if we grow UHS more at this site, we're going to be shrinking Rincon down to the point where it's not clear it's viable as a full high school. So there's a capacity issue. There's an issue that historically, although not as much right now, but historically there's been administrative tensions, because it's sort of like having two captains on the same ship, one in front, charge the bow and the stern. It isn't a good management model. Now, the principals we have there now are doing well, but historically that's been an issue. And one of my biggest reasons for wanting to give UHS its own campus is to attach an open admission middle school to it and let UHS supervise this high standards middle school that any kid could get into and be better prepared to enter UHS or any other high school.
All right. Well, rather than shut down a high school, which is incredibly divisive to the community, how about some of these buildings that schools that have closed and kind of retrofit them as a high school for University High?
Well, that's possible. Some of the sites like Townsend are pretty big, but we don't have a lot of – we just spent our last bond money. I'm not sure we're likely to get any new bond money soon. So it's not clear where the money would come from. And we have a lot of excess capacity in high schools. Last year, the Petticoat administration proposed closing Santa Rita, and they put that out there without a lot of warning, actually. And that's one reason that I think the board didn't go for it, because that was really – you know, this proposal's been out there a year and a half. That proposal floated for 5 days. And so that was really extreme. But I think they recognize that we have a lot of excess capacity in high schools. And I personally feel that to make the rest of the high school stronger, we need to close one of our general, comprehensive high schools.
If you had to close one right now, which one would it be?
I would not speculate on that.
When this came up on some of the Facebook pages yesterday, there were some comments negative about this. There's Dr. Stegeman again going rogue again, and another undermining the work of Superintendent H.D. Sanchez. Are you rogue, and are you a supporter of Superintendent Sanchez?
Well, I think he's actually done a pretty good – I didn't vote for that appointment initially, but I think he – considering the mess he inherited – I'm sorry to use that word, but I think he's doing a pretty good job, and I think the quality of decisions, as far as I can see, has gone up. And we're talking about lots and lots of decisions that are made week by week that never get into the newspaper, that are under the public radar. I think the quality of decision-making has gone up. As for the rogue thing
– Yeah, you're going rogue again.
Well, maxim in politics is if you're not making anybody mad, you're not trying hard enough. And I think that's probably true. But secondly, this proposal was out a year and a half. It got a lot of discussion. It was adopted by the board in a 4-1 vote. So I don't know what's rogue about it now. And over the last 11 months since this the board passed that, we've actually got a lot of comment, both pro and con, because, of course, there are pros and cons, like with everything. We've heard a lot about it. And so I don't know. I don't know when it's something the board adopted. I don't know, unless you say the whole board went rogue. I'm not sure what that.
Our friend David Safir of Blog for Arizona, actually he's one of the contributors to our show. He's our blogger beat guy. He suggested, David said, let's create a second UHS campus, preferably on the west side. Is that something that could be considered?
I think, yes. I think in concept, something like that's a good idea. But we just created a new school on the west side, the Mary Bell McCorkle School, and we built it from the dirt up. It was brand new. It started under Fagan and finished under Petticone, and it has huge issues. So I don't think TUSD at this point has shown that it knows how to do that, and that's why I'm more interested in building out models that are working and schools that are working. But conceptually, yeah, it would be nice to have another UHS. A Dodge Middle School, there's always lots and lots of families who want to get in there and there isn't space for them. People talk about creating another Dodge, and that's a great idea too. But you have to do that carefully. We haven't shown that we're good at that. And so I think it does make sense to let UHS to expand.
But from a logistical point of view, with UHS at Rincon High, and you said that Rincon High, at the beginning of the interview, you said it's been diminished somewhat. And is it talking about?
Well, in enrollment.
Oh, enrollment.
I mean,
the
site's at capacity. And as we've let UHS grow, which I supported, so now they're almost equal. It used to be Rincon had 2/3 the enrollment there. Now they're close to equal. I think UHS needs to be allowed to grow for the reasons I said, but that's going to force Rincon to shrink. Now, we've talked about maybe putting a couple portables out there to increase capacity a little, but that's not a very good solution, not a very big solution. So a lot of it is a capacity issue. I mean, if you force Rincon down under 1,000 students, 900, 800 students, you know, you start to have issues of offering enough variety and
what What is the image right now of TUSD in the community?
Well, I think we have an image problem, and I've been saying that for years. And I think the way you confront the image problem, I mean, one way you do it is by buying PR campaigns. You know, I voted against that at the start of the year, although I'm not saying they're doing a bad job. But the other is to really address difficult issues and stop kicking them down the road. And we've got issues like social promotion and like the UHS capacity problem that have been kicked down the road for years and years and years and years and years. And then it comes up and they say, let's study it some more. And you sort of get into this paralysis by analysis situation. I mean, anything you do with UHS is going to be controversial. It's like school closures. I mean, it is just inherently controversial. And sooner or later, you have to suck it up and say, we're going to do something, and we're going to think about it, be careful, you know, give a chance for input, but then we're going to be willing to do something. And TUSD too often has avoided the hard decisions.
Dr. Mark Stegeman with us, and we have scheduled Dr. Sanchez. I think, Rose, it's Friday, December 20th, something like that, but he will be with us very soon. Dr. Stegeman, have a great week. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for the chance, Bill.
All right. Bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan. All of our in-studio guests, including Dr. Stegeman,
and
right
it's
now.
Delicious.
It is, yes. It's very tasty water, pure and simple. No question about it. Really, it tastes good. What can you say? John C. Scott this afternoon, 3 to 5 on AM 1030 KVOI, then Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. My name is Bill Buckmaster. That's the name of the show, and we're back with you at 12:04 tomorrow. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.